This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Baba Kama, tape number 1. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key klalim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
Fine. This tape is dedicated in memory of Ha'isha Freidel Bas Moshe Katz, Zichrono Livrocha. Our Magid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
Before we begin Masechta Baba Kama, which is the first Masechta in Seder Nezikin, let us give a brief Hakdama. Seder Nezikin deals with the halachas of Mamonos. Bava Kama means the first gate. It is the first gate of three gates, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. Bava Kama deals primarily with the laws of damages and the money a person owes to another because of these damages. Damages can be caused not only by a balabais, but by things that he owns as well, for example, his animal. The psukim related to these damages in the upcoming Mishnah are found primarily in Parshas Mishpatim. Through all these psukim, we come out with six different types of damages. Eventually, the Gemara will condense these into four types of damages. Three of these six are damages done by an ox or an animal, and three of these are done by a person. The first of these six special categories is called keren. These are damages caused by goring. The common denominator of all cases of keren is that it was kavanasoi lahazik. The animal had specific kavana to do the damage. The second category is shein, eating and causing damages through the eating. The common denominator in all cases of shein is yesh hana lehezeke. The animal actually had enjoyment as he was doing the damage, because he was eating, for example. The third category is regel. This is when an animal stamps or stumps on property. The common denominator here is hezeka matzoi, something which is commonly done and commonly found. The fourth category is if a person digs a hole and someone falls in. The fifth category is fire. A person starts a fire and then it goes and destroys other things. And lastly, the sixth category is a person who causes damage by himself. Since these are all separate categories, these six categories, the halachas are all very different. A key din within keren is whether the goring animal is a tam or a muad. If it's a tam, that it gored only once or twice, in other words, these were just isolated incidences, then the baal, the owner, pays only chatzi nezek, half of the damages that were done. But once it gores a third time, which is called a muad, then it's something which is a shchiach, it's something which the animal does quite a bit, because if it gores three times, it obviously is in the habit of doing this. Then the owner has to pay nezek shalom. He has to pay the full value of the damage. In all other categories, the other five categories, there is no difference between the first offense and subsequent offenses. The damage paid is always the full value of the damage. And now let's begin the Mishnah here at the beginning of Masechtas Baba Kama, at the beginning of Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah says, Arba Avos Nezikin. There are four fathers of damages, i.e. there are four specific categories of damages. Number one, shor, an animal. Number two, bor, a pit. Number three, mava. This is a machloikis in the Gemara. Either it means shein or it means a person. And number four, hever, which is a fire. Then the Mishnah says shor and mava are really separate cases. That's why we had to mention both of them. And the Torah had to discuss both of these separately. Because a shor actually has a chumrah over mava. And mava has a chumrah over shor. The Mishnah asks, why do we need fire written in the Torah at all? The Mishnah answers, says there is a chumrah by esh versus shor and mava. Since Eish doesn't have Ruach Chaim, I would think you wouldn't have to pay for damages, because it doesn't have life. Kamash Malan, you still have to pay for damages. And why do we need boar, especially in the Mishnah? Because since the boar doesn't travel, it doesn't move, and the others do, I would think that you'd be putter from paying if your boar damages. Kamash Malan, you still have to pay, even though the boar doesn't move, you still have to pay for damages anyway. The Tzad HaShava in all of these four cases is that they're all capable of causing damages, and all four of them you're chayev to watch, and all four of them, if you damage, you must pay the value of the damage. The damage has to be paid either with money, or if you don't pay with money, with metav ha'aretz, with real estate, the best of your land. If, however, you pay with real estate, it must be with the best quality land, not beninus, which is middle quality land, or Ziburius, which is lower quality land. Taisus explains that the reason we need four specific psukim to teach us these halachas, and you wouldn't be able to learn one from the other, via Kal v'chomer, is due to the klal of Ein Einshin Min Adin, as we see from the Gemara in Makas Daf Hei, that we cannot inflict punishment on a person via a halacha which is learned from a Kal v'chomer. Taisus deduces from our Mishnah that the principle of Ein Einshin Min Adin is limited to penalties of a capital nature, but not to penalties that have to do with mamonis, for otherwise, there would be no need for the Mishnah to consider the possibility of learning one type of mazik from another. This Mishnah, says Taisus, is proof that einshin mamon min adin, monetary laws, can be inferred via Kal v'chomer. Taisus, however, notes that not everybody agrees with this. He mentions the Mechilta, who indicates, contrary to our Mishnah, that due to the principle of ein einshin min adin, even penalties of a monetary nature cannot be derived via a Kal v'chomer. And the Gemara says, since the Mishnah called these four damages avos, general categories, there must also be toldos, children of these avos that are more specific. As we see from Hilchos Shabbos, that there are 39 malachas that are called avos, but other children malachas that are called toldos, and are similar in nature to the avos, and that if one does it bemezid, the punishment is misa, and if it's done b'shoigig, the transgression must bring a karban chatas. But there are different, that you, if you do two avos or two toldos, you're chayav in two karbanas. But if you do an av and its own tolda, you're only chayav for one carbon. However, by tuma, we say tolda sehem lav kiyetzivahem. The toldas are very different from their avos. How so? A person who is an av hatuma can be metame, odam and kalim, if he touches them. But a tolda can only be metame eichlun umashkin, but cannot inflict tuma on odam the kalim. The Gemara says the damage of Karen is learned from Shmos Chaf Aleph, the pasuk of Kiyigach. And since goring is always with a horn, the term keren is used. We can also learn it from the bracha given to Yosef. Bechor shara hadrla, b'karnei re'eim karnav bahem amim yenagach. The Gemara asks, what exactly are the toldos of keren? Negicha, goring. Number one, negifa, which is collision. Number two, neshicha, biting. Number three, revitza, laying on something with force. And number four, ve'ita, kicking. The Gemara says if an axe became a muad by goring a certain thing, for example, an axe, if it now gore something else, for example, a person, for the first time, it now is a tam vis-a-vis the person, since it's more difficult to gore a man than to gore an animal. The Gemara asks, why are revitza and be'ita considered toldos of keren? Why aren't they toldos of regel, since they were done with the feet? The Gemara answers, because the key characteristic of regel is not that it was done with a foot, but rather that it's hezeka motzoi. It's common since the animal does it b'derech agav when it walks. Keren's key characteristic is kavanase lahazik. It has kavana to do it. This is how revitza, laying, and be'ita, kicking, are done. They're done with kavana. That's why they're called a toldos of keren. The av of shein and regel are learned from mishpatim. Ki yaver ish sada oi keren, the shilach es be'irai ubir bistei acher. Regel is learned from mishilach. He sent out his behemoth. And uvier is how we learn shein, since the cow now ate someone else's field. Daf Gimel. If an animal damages a field via shein, eating, the owner is chayev to pay whether it was mekalya karna, it ate the whole thing, and it's also mechayev to pay if it was shalei mekalya karna, it didn't eat the whole thing. And this same halacha also applies to regel. The Gemara says just like by shein, you're chayev to pay if you sent the animal, or if it went by itself, so too by regel, you're mechuyev to pay whether you sent the animal or if it went by itself. The key characteristic of shein is yesh hana lehezeka. The damager has hana from the experience. It's not just that the damage was done, but there was also hana to be had. What is the tolda of shein? More answers, if it scratches its back against the wall, or if it got peris dirty by rolling on them. These are yesh hana lehezeka. The animal has hana from his actions. The sma in Chayshin Mishpat, Simon Shin Tzadik Aleph, Sifkot and Dalet, discusses a case in which an animal rubs or scratches himself on another animal instead of scratching himself on a wall. He concludes that the Gemara specifically cited the example of a wall because if an animal scratches itself on another animal and causes damage, we attribute the animal's actions to Kavana Lahazik, an intent to cause damage, and not therefore for Hana. Therefore, he says that in such a case, this case would be included under the category of Keren and not under the category of Shein. Consequently, there's an afkamina between whether they pay chatzi nezek or nezek shalat. The Taz, however, disagrees and says that when we're not sure, we attribute an animal's motive to pleasure, i.e. shein, rather than the specific intent to damage, i.e. karen, because shein is something which is routine, and is therefore more likely than Karen, which is considered to be Mishuna, something which is out of the ordinary. The exact nature of tinfa peris lahanasa, which is when the animal rolls in the peris, dirtying the fruit for pleasure, that's a machlekes rishonim. The Tosfos Shantz, which is brought in the Shita Mekubetzas, explains that the animal soiled the fruit by walking on them in order to cool itself off. The Rach, however, gives a different explanation. He says that the animal soiled the fruit by relieving itself on them. He explains that since withholding from relieving itself at that point on the fruit would cause the animal discomfort, it's considered hanol azeka to relieve themselves, which is therefore deriving pleasure from the damage, and therefore that's considered part of shame. Yesh hanol azeka. The Gemara says a bore which is 10 tefachim deep can cause death to an animal which falls in, and if it's less than 10 tefachim deep, it can only hurt an animal if the animal falls in. The Gemara asks, what is the tolda of bore? Or answers, if a man left a chayfetz in the street, and someone fell over it and got hurt. The key characteristic of bor is that it's something which is made to cause damage, and you're mechuyev to watch it carefully, so no one gets hurt on it, and if someone does, you're mechuyev to pay damages for it. The klal is, adam muad lo'ilam, a man, whether he is awake or asleep, is responsible for damages which are caused by him. Although most toldos de regel are similar to the av of regel, one of them is different. This is the tolda of chatzi nezek tzreiris. Half damage you'd have to pay if the animal causes damage by stepping on a pebble, and this pebble went flying and hurt someone. Since the animal is a tam, and this happened via something which is not shchiach, because it's not shchiach for an animal to step on something and it goes flying in that way, the owner should really be putter. But there's a halacha l'maisha mesinai that says chatzi nezek is chayef. Is chayef chatzi nezek in the case of chatzi nezek tzreiris. Masha'enkin, a regular told to the regal, is considered chayev nezek shalem. If tzeruris pay only chatzi nezek, why is it considered a tolda of regal, which pays nezek shalem? Gemara answers, since it's pater b'rishus harabim, just like regal is. It's only chayev if it went into a rishus hayachin. Finally, what is mava, the av of mava? Rav says this is damage caused by a person, and Shmuel says this is damage caused by the shein of an animal. Daf Dalet. If a man damages another man, he must not only pay for nezek, the damage itself, but he has to also pay for the arba devarim, tsar, which is for pain, ripoy, which is for the hospital bills to make him get better, sheves, which is unemployment, and baishas, which is shame. He has to pay for these four things as well. Masha'enkein, if an animal damages a man, the owner pays only for nezek, not for anything else. There are 13 avos nezikin, including four people who watch items. Number one, a shemer chinam, person who watches items for free. He only pays if he is negligent, and then damages occur. This is called pshia. Number two, a shayel. This is a borrower who borrows something without paying for the benefit of borrowing the item. He's chayef for everything that happens to the item, even for an inus. He's only putter if the damage is via the normal, everyday cause of work, which is called mesa machmas melacha. Number three, a shemer sachar. He charges for watching it. So he's only chayev if he's negligent, or if the item is stolen or lost, but he's pater for an einus. And finally, a seicher, same din as the shemer sacher. In addition to these four, we have the damages of nezek, tsar, ripoy, sheves, and baishas, plus the four from our Mishnah. This is a total of 13. Rabbi Chiya says there are 24 types of damage payments. One could be mechuyev to pay. Number one, kefil. If a person stole something in a quiet way, then he must pay the principal times two. Number two, arba v'chamisha. If one stole an ox or a sheep and sold or shechted it, then he must pay dalad v'hei, four or five times the amount of the principal item that he stole. Number three, a ganef. Number four, a gazlan. This is a person who steals wide out in the open. Number five, edim zaymimin, who get caught because other edim say imanu hayisem. So these edim must pay kasher zama. They must pay what they wanted to do to the other people. Number six, an einus. If one forces a woman to have relations, then he must pay chamishim kesef. Number seven, mefata. If a person convinces a woman to do the avera, then he must also pay chamishim kesef. Number eight, if a man is maitzi shemra on his wife, that she wasn't a besula, so she must have been mizana after kedushin, but this all wasn't true, then he has to pay mea kesef. Number nine, if a person is metame someone else's objects. Number ten, medame. That person mixes truma into someone else's chulin, thereby passeling everything. Number 11, menasech, pouring someone else's wine to avaydezara so it becomes yayin nesach. And now it is osir bahana, so you must pay for this damages. These 11 items plus the 13 of Rabbi Ishiah is equal to the total of 24. And Rabbi Ishiah didn't learn these extra 11, since these 11 are knasim, and he only wanted to learn regular cases of mamonis. Dafe. If a person causes damages which can't really be noticed, there's a machlekes if a person is chayev or not. Hezek she'en nikker, shmei hezek or lo shmei hezek. For example, the Yayin Nesach. When a person does something to Yayin Nesach, you can't really tell from the wine itself whether there's anything wrong with it. So this is considered a hezek she'en nikker. The Gemara asks, why doesn't the Torah just write Shor and Mava? And let's learn Eish out from those two. Our answer, since Shor and Mava have Ruach Chaim, have life, while Eish does not have life. Why doesn't the Torah just write Bor and one other of these cases and use a Mamatzinu to learn all the others? A Mamatzinu, by the way, is when case A has a Chumra, case B doesn't. So we find a third case that has the same din as A, that doesn't have the Chumra of A, which can prove that the uniqueness of case A doesn't come from the Chumra aspect of A, but rather it Stam comes. So i.e. this is called Zayechiach. Then you can learn out other cases from case A without having to deal with the Chumra aspect. And then we find a Chumra from case number 3 to put back on case A, and we go back and forth, which would allow us to learn case B from case number 3 and case number A. So as long as all three have something in common. So the Gemara wants to use the same logic here by the cases of Arba Aves Dezikin and learn all cases from Bor and one other case, except for Karen, which we cannot learn. So Taka, why didn't we do this? Our answer is the Torah needed to specifically mention Karen to teach us the difference between Tam and Mu'ud. Specifically, Shein V'Regel to teach us that they're Pater Birshus HaRabim. Bor teaches us Pater B'Kelim. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says you're Chayev on Bor, for Niske Kelim, the Chiddush of Bor was to tell us that Adam is Chayev in more than just Nezek, i.e. he's also Mechuyev in Tzar, Ripu, Shevas, and Boshes, etc. And Eish is coming to tell us that Eish is Pater from Tomun, from hidden objects. Dafav. The four cases of Nezikin have a Tzara Shava, a common denominator. Their derech is to damage, and you must carefully watch them. What then is the chiddush of our Mishnah? Rava says it's coming to include a bor that was moved by someone else's feet before it did damage. A person can open up his pipes and clear the rubbish into Rishus HaRavim only in the winter, not in the summer, since in the winter the streets are already full of ice and water. However, even in the winter, if this rubbish damages someone, the owner is chayev for hezek. If a person's tree or wall fell into a Rishus HaRavim, and Bezdin gives you a specific amount of time to clean it up, if it damaged before the time limit, he's pater from paying damages. If, however, he waited beyond the time limit and then it does damage, then he's chayev, since his time deadline ran out. When a person damages, he must pay from the best land, Meitav Sodeyu U'Meitav Karmoy Yishalim. Rabbi Shmuel says, the Meitav is the Meitav of the one who was actually damaged, B'denizik Shamina. Rabbi Akiva says, this Meitav, which we're referring to, is the Meitav, the best of his own land, B'demazik Shamina, the person who actually did the damage. If a man decided to give 100 zuzim to Hektish, he must pay it with Idis land, with the best quality land that he has, since it's a Kal V'Chomer from Nezikin. If, when you do damage, you pay with the best land, for sure, if you give to Hektish, you must give the best land. In fact, Rav Shimon ben Yonasya says that if a regular tam animal gores a Hektish animal, you must pay Nezek Shalem from Be'idus, from the Edis, which is the best land. I'm saying. One pasuk, Meitav Sadeyu, is mashma that the Mazik must pay Edis, the best land. This is if we force him to pay, then he has to pay the best land. If, however, he pays on his own, he comes forward and he says he needs to pay because he did damage, but we don't actually force him, then he can pay with a lesser quality field. This is learned from the pasuk of Yashiv, which includes Shavah Kesef and Subin, low-quality land. The Gemara says land goes up in price in Nisan, but goes down in price in Tishrei. And in the Kuntras al-Hadaf, they bring the Gemara in Peah Daf Ches. In order for one to be considered an Ani, a poor person, and be entitled to Maiser Ani, and Leket Shikho Peah, he must have less than 200 zuzim. The Gemara discusses whether one can collect Maiser Ani if he owns real estate worth more than 200 zuzim, but encounters difficulty in selling it for its real value. The Gemara says that if the general real estate market at the time is depressed, then undoubtedly he is entitled to Maiser Ani, since the market value of the property at this point is less than 200 zuzim. However, if the general real estate market has not dropped, but a specific person, due to his desperation to sell his field, cannot get a fair price, and the Gemara says that he is not considered to be an Ani and cannot collect Maiser Ani. It's important to point out the Shita of the Birkas Avram, who clarifies this by saying that poverty guidelines are determined by the amount of assets one has, even if they are not liquid assets. as long as one has assets currently valued at 200 zuzim, he's considered to be above the poverty line, regardless of the fact that he personally is experiencing difficulty in selling his property at a fair price. The Gemara says, although a mazik pays idus, the best quality land, and a balchayv pays beninus, middle quality land, a ksuba is paid beziburius, with the lowest quality land. But if she wants to make a deal to get better land, but less of it, she can propose this as well if she wants to. The Gemara says, we want to assess the value of property for the purpose of damages. It's a machlekes if we say bida nizik shaminin. We look for the idus of the person who was actually damaged. Or we say bida mazik shaminin. We look for the idus, the best quality land, of the one who did the damage. An afkamina would be if the idus of the nizik is worth the same as the ziburius of the mazik. So if we say bida nizik shaminan, he would pay the idus. But if we say bida mazik shaminan, the quality of the land would have to be much better, since this land is only ziburius of the mazik. Tafchas. Ula says, mida raisa, a balchayev can only collect from ziburius. But the Rabbanan made a takana that a balchayev can collect from beninus, from land which is better than the ziburius. Otherwise, if the balchayev knew he was only going to be getting back the worst quality land, the ziburius, he would never want to lend money. And we want to be sure that when people need to borrow money, it's readily available. So takana shalai sinai delas bifnei lovin, because we're afraid that the door of borrowing and lending money would be closed in front of people who need to borrow money, if the people who were collecting the money would only be getting ziburius. The Gemara says, if a man had all three types of land, and he sold the land to three different people, so the person who's collecting for nezek can collect from idus. The balchayv would collect from beninus, and the woman who was collecting her ksuba would collect from ziburius. But if the idus was sold on Sunday, beninus was sold on Monday, and ziburius was sold on Tuesday, the people who are being taiveh can only collect from the last sale, since we say, a nifrayin minachasim mishubadim b'makam shiyesh b'necherin. You only go back as far as the last thing that was available. You don't go as far back as other things before that. So if there isn't enough land, then you go back to the one sold just before the last one. The case in our Gemara, specifically, is if Edis was bought last, and the reason the buyer doesn't have to give them all Edis is because he can say, Ishas kisu v'shaklisu kidenaichu. If you take what you're entitled to, then you'll get what you're entitled to. In other words, the mazik gets Edis, the balchayv gets beninus, and the woman who's collecting ksuba gets ziburius. However, if you don't want to take what you're entitled to, I'll sell all the ziburius. This will be the last thing that got sold, and you'll all get stuck with ziburius, because they'll have to all be teveah from the last thing that was sold. Then the Gemara asks, what if there is no beninus? I.e., he had beninus and idus, but he sold it, and now he's left only with ziburius. Then the Gemara says the balchayv must settle for ziburius, for the poor quality fields. Nevertheless, in a case where, subsequent to taking the loan, the leiva sells his best quality fields, the malva does not lose his right to collect the beninus fields, i.e. the fields that were considered beninus at the time of the loan, even though now they're considered the leiva's best fields. What about a case where the leiva's idus fields got ruined by a flood subsequent to the loan, leaving him with only beninus and ziburius? This is a machlekes between the nesivus and the arsameach. Ayin sham. The Gemara says, if a particular case where a takanas chachamim was meant for a person's benefit, and in a certain instance it works to their disadvantage, this person can forego the takana. For example, a wife, there's a takana that says that a wife gets mezainis from her husband. This is a takanas chachamim, and it's in exchange for her maisi adayim. But if the wife has a good job with a high salary, she can waive her right to get food if she wants to, and she doesn't have to do work for him. As Rava said, kala aimer e efshi b'takanas chachamim shaymin lay. Rava said, if Reuven sold all of his land to Shimon, and Shimon sold a field to Levi, the malv of Reuven comes to collect. Who does he collect from? Mara answers, he collects from either one, since all the land was meshubed to him. Abaya said, Reuven sold land to Shimon with achrayas, i.e. guaranteed. If it's taken from you, I'll replace it. The malv of Reuven came to take land from Shimon. Since Reuven owed him money, Reuven can come to try and refute the loan, i.e. say, I already paid up. And the malva cannot say to Reuven, this is all none of your business. Leibaldvarim didiyat. Daftes. A person is kaina a field via chazaka from the moment he steps on the field. Mechidayish amitzri. Taisva says that he really already owned the field before he stepped on it, because we know from Baba Basra that to be kaina a field via chazaka, you need more than just stepping on it. Ravasi says, money has the same din as karka regarding two brothers who split up their father's estate. One took cash and the other took karka. So if a balchayv comes and collects from the karka, they must re-split the cash into half. But the Gemara questions this, since Shmuel says once the money is split, they're now not considered yarshim, but rather they're considered lekuchais, since each is taking their own type of a risk. The cash taker risks the money being stolen, and the land taker risks a bal chayiv coming and taking it away because it was meshubet. So he says, basically, according to this Shita of Shmuel, that you would not have to re-split the money once a bal chayiv comes, because each of them took their own risks, and now it's just tough luck for the person who lost the land due to the bal chayiv. Reb Zera said, the name of Reb Puna, when one does a mitzvah, he must give up a shlish, one-third of his possessions. Meaning that when doing a mitzvah, one must go out of his way to do it in a beautiful way. And hidr mitzvah is ad shlish, is up to one-third. Rashi explains that hidr mitzvah ad shlish means that if a person has to choose between two items for a mitzvah, an average item and a nicer one, for example, say for Torah or an esrog, a person has an average esrog and then he has a better esrog, he should buy the nicer one, as we see from the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, from the Pasuk of Zekeli Vanveyu, that one should be Hisna Lefanav B'mitzvahs, make yourself nice in front of Hashem with mitzvahs. However, one is only obligated to spend up to one-third more than the regular price in order to be Yaitza this mitzvah of Hidr Mitzvah. Taisvis learns that the Pshat and Ad Shlish is referring to size. If given a choice between two Esregim, a smaller one and a larger one, he should buy the one which is larger, up to one-third larger than the minimum shear. When we say hidr mitzvah ad shlish, does it mean shlish milagav from the inside, i.e. if an esrog costs $30, you must add one-third to the inside amount, for example, another $10, so therefore you must spend $40 in total? Or do we say hidr mitzvah ad shlish means shlish milabar, one-third from the outside, meaning it has to be one-third of the new total? In other words, $15 is one-third of the new total of this item, $45, then a person must spend $45 in order to be yaitza this mitzvah. The one-third is referring to the $15 of the $45. So this is actually now a higher amount. Gemara says this is teiku. Finally, Reb Zera says, on this hidr mitzvah ad shlish mishaloi, mikan vielech mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, up until one-third from his own, afterwards from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kuntras al-Hadaf brings numerous explanations for this Gemara. Firstly, Rashi and Taisvis, they interpret this to mean that a person receives his reward for fulfilling hidra mitzvah in Olam Haba, the world to come, like most other mitzvahs. However, if one spends money over and above the required third, as we mentioned before, he will be rewarded even in Olam Hazeh, in this world, as well as in Olam Haba. The Rach, however, offers an alternate interpretation. He says that one is exempt from spending more than a third for hidra mitzvah only in ordinary circumstances, where one's money is mishaloi, as a result of his own labor. However, where one has ample money, Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which came as a gift to him from Hashem, meaning to say that he did not have to work for his money, but rather received it as a gift or as a Yerusha, then he is required to spend even more than a third for Hidra Mitzvah. The Ramah interprets the Gemara similar to the Rach, which is also brought in the Nemuchah Yosef. However, he extends Mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu to include any wealth that a person acquires, whether earned through his own work or not. He argues that after all, it is Hashem who gives one his strength and the wherewithal to earn his money. Therefore, he says that the limitation of shlish does not apply with respect to wealthy people, irrelevant of how they acquired their wealth. The Rakachover Gain, brought in Tzofnas Paneach, interprets Rav Zera as meaning that generally one must spend his own money, mishaloi, for hidra mitzvah, not money which was earmarked for meiser. However, he says, one may use meiser money, mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for hidra mitzvah when spending in excess of the required shlish. The next Mishnah. Anything a person is obligated to watch, if that thing damages, the owner is chayev to pay. If a person causes part of the damages, in many instances, he must pay the whole damages. Damages are only mechuyev to be paid on things that do not belong to Hekdesh, property that belongs to a Jew, and property which is not considered hefker. The Mishnah continues and says one is always responsible for damages unless the damage happened in the property within the property of the mazik. Let's say, for example, a person has a dog and it's within his property, and an animal goes into this property of the mazik, and the dog does damages, so then the mazik is not chayev. The person who owns the dog is not chayev. Since what was this cow doing walking into this dog's area? Cow shouldn't have been there in the first place. It shouldn't have been in the rishus of the mazik. In that case, the person would be pater. Finally, the Mishnah says, when damages occur, the payment must be made with metav haaretz, with the best quality of land that a person owns.